Hey everybody, I'm RJ, I'm an alcoholic. I have never spoken in a public forum, so bear with me, and I hope I can get through this. my sponsor threw me under the bus, but we'll talk later. And so let me qualify here and say, you know, started when I was probably seven. Let's see, my grandfather died, and I think we moved all of his stuff from his beach house into our house. And me and my brother were rambling through it. We found a travel case with like a bottle and two like travel shot glasses, and we just started drinking. And so that was the first time I ever drank liquor. And I think that from that moment on, I knew it was an instant love affair. My life was changed. I'm the seventh of nine children. My father was a reverend, and so a lot of my life was built on living up to him and to God, who I understood only through my father and through this Bible that he had shown me. And it was tough. It was always a negative environment for me. My father was a disciplinarian, and it took me through some hard times, and I felt that comfort that first time I drank. I felt that it's going to be okay kind of feeling. So every chance after that, I remember just looking for it. My neighbors had like a boat, and they always kept coolers outside and like would leave beer in them, and me and my brother would steal them and drink them in the bushes. And so it went on like that, you know, not every day, but once in a while, you know. And finally I got into high school, and it was like more of a social lubricant for me, I think. I wanted to be a part of everything. I was in the ROTC. I was in the football team. And I did, like, parade. I marched in parades with ROTC, and I always tried to fit in with every sect, you know. Like, not just, like, the dorks and the jocks, you know. I was kind of, like, the middleman. I wanted everybody to like me. And it was, like, that was my way in, was to go to the parties. Everyone knew me. And it was it became a way of life after that. And the party didn't stop after high school. It kept going. And I met a girl who we were best friends, and we partied a lot together. You know, drugs, alcohol. It was awesome. It was just what I needed. Finally, I had someone, you know, who could compete with me and my skills as a partier. And so we were together for a few years until one day we found out we were pregnant. And okay, great, awesome. I'm going to be a dad. She was terrified. The first thing my mom told me was to do the right thing. So the right thing in our family was to get married, and no abortions are allowed. So that's what I did. I don't regret it. I think it carried me a long time without, like, the party stopped for a while. And I got to be able to go to work and to start a career and to have a family and to see what that was like. And it was really awesome. It was really a good time. And we started to settle in, and my wife was nearing her end of her schooling and becoming an interior designer, and I had become a head chef, and we were doing well. We were doing really well on the outside, so it seemed. But all the while, I kept my good friend, who was there for me since childhood, with me. He was always with me in some way or another. And my wife had slipped away from the partying a few years prior, and she was more into the family now. It was more family. And she would tell me I had a problem, and I should do something about it. And I just look at her and say, you know what, I work, you go to school, I'm taking care of the family, the bills are paid. We had two cars. Everything's fine. But there was a problem. There was definitely a problem. I just was too proud, too arrogant to see it, to make anything happen about it. I thought as long as my bills were paid, she should just shut up and do what I said. And that was a terrible, awful way of thinking. My mindset was gone. I believe it is about the divine intervention that brings us there. But it took me a while to find that and to see it and to humble me to surrender finally. It was my wife left me. I caught her with another man. That's besides the point. I guess, you know, my inadequacies, she tried. It was over. So we got divorced, and I went on for 2 more years just drinking and working. I stayed successful in my career. I guess that's the only thing I stayed good at, because I knew, you know, if I didn't have money, I couldn't drink anymore, I think was the bottom line. It just became that. So I had my condo, I had my money, my job, and my alcohol, minus a family, which was terrible. After my wife left me, I moved in with my parents. She got the condo and my vehicle in the divorce because I didn't show up. I moved in with my mom and dad, who were still willing to have me, even though deeply religious roots, let me come into their home, knew about my drinking, let me bring my habits into their home. I was there for about 6 months until my mother had a massive heart attack and died. And that kind of just was the end of it for me. I was just drinking every day, going into work, drinking on the job. The owners of the restaurant knew about it, but I made them money. So as long as I was making them money, they didn't say anything. So finally, I had enough, and I told them I couldn't do it anymore. I gave them the keys. I said, I'm an alcoholic. It's just dragging me down. And I left. And I left, and I came to Tampa. My brothers live here. And they're busy. They're busy professionals, engineers. And so it's just, I came up here, and I asked them for help. And it was kind of, we're busy with our lives right now. What do you want us to do about it? And so I didn't know. I've always tried to do everything under my own steam, and it was really hard for me, that breaking point, to actually ask for help. So I kind of just shoved it away and said, whatever, I got this, you know. And I probably was clean for about 3 weeks. I went back to Sarasota, started working again, and just started all over again. After, you know, 3 weeks, I picked up another drink and kept going. And it took me another 2 years of that drinking to actually sober up to where I put myself into treatment. And I was in an inpatient treatment center for 44 days. It was a 30-day program, but I got an extension and I stayed longer because I wasn't ready. But it was awesome. There was other people like me that had problems that couldn't control it. It was understanding, and it wasn't like burdening for me to ask for help from these people. It was a relief, and I wasn't putting shame on my family. And so I felt good in treatment. I really did. I've learned a lot, and I've since been back there a few times just to talk with them and help with the staff. They do like volunteer, and they're a really good place. It's Manatee Glens. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of it, but it's an awesome facility. So I sobered up and I got clean, and I met a group of people called AA, which I had never really even heard about. I've heard of the steps, but I didn't know what kind of like huge, like branching network of other alcoholics there were. And I found a lot of comfort in this, coming to these things and being able to talk with people. I don't really find a lot of comfort in being up here right now. It's really hot and these lights are crazy, but my sober date is November 14th, 2014. So I just hit 90 days. And it was a good feeling to say, okay, I went 3 months since I was 15 years old without a drink. So, I mean, it was really awesome. And I found a really good network of friends here that I liked going, doing things with and being able to talk to, and just to be able to learn and grow. I did get a sponsor probably a month after I got out of treatment, because I'm really from this area, and it took me a lot to go out here and talk to people and to get to know people. And yeah, I'm sober, and I like it. And my relationships with my ex-wife have actually improved. She talks to me. Her and the guy that she's with, they have a new family now. And I'm able to talk to him without threatening to kick his ass. And my son, he's 8, and he's just a wonderful kid. And, you know, everyone always told me I was a good dad. But, you know, drinking and driving with your kid in the car and being too hungover to go do anything with him, I remember those times in my life. And, you know, if that was being a good dad, I don't want to be that. And I want to be a great dad. I want to be there for him and be a part of his life. And I'm able to do those things now. I'm able to go down and pick him up. You know, it's not every week. My job doesn't permit that here now, but it's every other week, you know, and maybe in the future it'll be more. And the off sobriety, I hope I can achieve that. He is very important to me. Also with my family, my father, he's been remarried since my mother died, and he lives in Clearwater, but we talk. You know, he's not ashamed of me. I'm not the bastard alcoholic child, which is a good thing. I think his influence with God was more of as a disciplinarian to me, and my own, the God of my understanding is quite different. Very loving and kind, and is there for me. So he did the best he could with that, and it was up to these rooms of healing to help me find my own God of my understanding to where I'm comfortable. You know, I like that. I don't like a disciplinarian God. It's not my action. I don't know how much time I have left, but I think that's about it. And thank you for bearing with me. I'll have to brush up my story. So that's it. Thank you.